We have a very special guest coming in into the studio today to be interviewed. His name is Ben Cosmire. He's a friend of mine, a great skier, may I say, and a sportsman as well as a missionary. And he's going to be sharing with us some cool stories from the time that he served in the Solomon Islands. You are a little bit of a, I do not know if you were listening when we were talking about what was Jesus's trade. He was a tecton, which is like a craftsman. You're a bit of a handyman yourself, aren't you, Ben?
Yes, I am. I'm practical, enjoyed manual arts at school, so yeah.
That's very cool. Well, tell us a little bit about, you know, your time in the Solomons. So you went there, and there's an interesting story about how you ended up even being the Solomons. You were teaching mechanics, weren't you?
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about, like, how did you ended up going from whatever you were in Australia all the way across the sea to the Solomons?
Yeah, I guess the story begins, I was born in Cairns and my mum and dad went to New Guinea as missionaries for 7 years. And so I grew up a missionary's kid, and we had pilots from our church planes flying in, and they would stay overnight, and around the dinner table they'd tell all these stories about, you know, villages and missions and how God had cared for them and worked in special ways, and people coming to know Jesus from that. And so,
wow, amazing.
I think that was implanted in my heart as young. And when I got married, my wife and I thought, you know, this would be, you know, we want to serve in mission somehow.
So you had this desire, you know, since growing up as a boy in Papua New Guinea, and then after you got married and you said, look, we want to go to the Solomons. How was the journey? Just applied, bought a plane ticket and went there? It was just like easy peasy?
No, not at all. The economy was in a recession. We bought a house. Interest rates are 17%. I was doing my trade as a mechanic. My wife was working in an office at a bookshop, and so things, life wasn't that easy. I actually spent, you know, a year or two searching for God and wanting to find God, because life was a bit rough. Anyway, I come to find God through, you know, reading the Bible and spending time with God. My heart burned all the more for, you know, for wanting to serve him. And I remember praying each day for 3 years, Lord, I'm yours. Use me in whatever way, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, you know, I'm yours. And one Saturday morning, my wife used to receive the church newsletter. And in the newsletter was this advertising for a mechanics and a business teacher for Bartuna in the Solomon Islands. And being a mechanic and my wife being in business, my wife used to, Saturday morning, she received the newsletter and would take it along to church and, you know, distribute it. And she would read it every Saturday morning, every Sabbath morning. And she's going, hey, Ben, look at this. You know, we could do this. This fits us, mechanic and business teacher for Bartuna. So we go to church, and that Sabbath morning, Jill and Ken Hisco from Bartuna are there to tell the mission story of this mechanics and business teacher that they would really love to have at their school in the Solomon Islands.
Wow.
Yeah.
So the advertising that you just read, that your wife just read, the people who are actually looking for these missionaries just so happened to, of all the hundreds of churches in Australia, of any day of the year, they just so happened to be at the very church that you yourself and your wife found yourselves in.
Yes.
Wow. So you look at that and says, hey, I think that God is telling us something.
Yeah, we just looked at each other in disbelief and heard all about this place and what it was like and how many students and, yeah.
Amazing. So how was the journey to Bartuna? What did you have to do? Did you have to sell your stuff over here in Australia? Was it an expensive trip? Did they pay for your tickets? How did it happen?
Yeah, we talked to them because finance was a big thing, you know, how we could afford this. And we talked to Jill and Ken after church, and they said, look, you'll get $25 Australian each a week. That will be your
allowance.
Your allowance. And we're thinking, how can we live on that? And how can we even buy our airfare to get there, you know, and freight some stuff and my tools or whatever for mechanics? And so we went home, and I remember it was a Tuesday morning. My wife, actually Monday night, my wife and I knelt down and we said, Lord, we feel called. We feel like you want us to go here, and we want to go. But you'll need to help us, you know, with our finances and our house. What do we do with our house? And, you know, to get there so we can serve. Well, the next morning I go to work, and the manager calls us all together, and he says, this part of the company is not doing so well. We're going to close this part of the company down. We're offering $1,000 redundancy money plus your holidays. And any time we're winding up in, you know, over 3 months, any time over the next 3 months, if you want to leave, you know, we'll give you $1,000 and you're welcome to leave. And I'm going, hey, man, I've just been made redundant. I don't have a job within 3 months. And so I'm thinking, well, if I do this missionary thing, you know, I don't need the job anyway. So my wife and I go down to the real estate agent and to find out how much it is for airfares to get over there. And the real estate agent gets, you know, on the computer and has...
Oh, the real estate agent or the travel agent?
Oh, sorry, travel agent.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, yeah. Yeah, the travel agent. And the travel agent says, oh, for both of you, the airfares are $980. This and my redundancy is $1,000. And so it's $980. And we didn't realize when we got to the airport, we had to pay $10 departure tax each to get on the plane. And so here's this $1,000 exactly for us to get on the plane to get to the wow. Solomon Islands.
God has provided.
And so we just thought, we're sure God wants us to go there.
Amazing. Okay, so you're in Batuna now. You're a mechanics teacher. Your wife is a business teacher. And you're serving, you're teaching the people there how to fix things and build things, am I imagining. Can you tell me about a memorable story, a memorable moment that you lived in Batuna, something that happened that you'll never forget?
Yeah. There's a couple of stories that come to mind, shark stories, actually. Batuna is on the Maravo Lagoon, 90 miles long. It's the longest lagoon in the southern hemisphere, and beautiful reefs, tropical islands. And we had the school used to grow their own gardens, sweet potato, cassava, you know, some greens, but they had no protein in their diet, the students. And, but also the gardens weren't doing well because they'd been farmed every year so much. And there was a guy that came that knew all about fertilizers and gardening and all that, and he said blood and bone is the best thing for gardens. The garden will really revive. The soil will really revive. So we thought, there's plenty of sharks in this ocean here and shouldn't be hard to catch. And so we could get, you know, shark and compost and make our own blood and bone.
What can possibly go wrong?
Yeah. So I got some of my students together and I said, you know, how can we get sharks? Well, there was this young kid from Kiribati Islands. And they eat coconut and shark. That's their main diet. And so they get shark all the time. And he said, you just get a float, a buoy, and have a length of rope on it with a hook and the meat and the bait meat on the end of the on the hook, and you just paddle out into the ocean, throw the whole thing out, and gets a wire with shells on it and shake it under the water, and the sharks come around to see what this noise is. And take the bait, see? And they fight against this buoy, and the buoy keeps floating to the top, and the shark keeps fighting and fighting until it dies. It exhausts itself and dies. And then he said, you just paddle over to the buoy and tie the buoy to your canoe, the float to your canoe, and paddle back ashore. And he said, it's, you know...
Simple plan.
Simple plan. Well, some of the other guys go, no, that's, you know, we don't do it like that. We have other ways. And so they take this dugout canoe with an outboard motor on the back and they go out and they actually wrap the 200-pound fishing line around and around their arm because you can't hold a fishing line when a shark's, like pulling hard on the line. And wrapping it around their arm, they can, you know, hold their arm. And if it gets too tight or they think the line's going to break, they'll straighten their arm so the line goes off your arm, and then you can straighten your arm again. So the guys go out and try this idea, and this big shark takes the line, and of course the line's off their arm, and it's pulling the canoe along as well in the water, and they're starting to like, man, this is getting a bit exciting. Anyway, all the line comes off the guy's arm, and they had the end of it tied to the front seat of the canoe, which was just a piece of wood nailed in, and it rips the front seat of the canoe out, and the guys come home without shark. So they come back and they go, look, we've got a speedboat here. Let's make some reels that are fishing line reels, big ones that are bolted to the side of the speedboat. And so they go out and they go, you know, nighttime would be better. So they go out, one guy's on the engine, two guys are on the reel, and another guy, he goes, I'll lie on the front deck of the speedboat and shake the shells in the water. And they take this little kid that knows how to deal with sharks, because they're a bit worried now how to deal with sharks.
Take the specialist in.
Yeah. And so this little kid's on this big, big fishing line reel mounted to the side of the boat. They're shaking the shells in the water. Shark takes the bait. And this young kid's there with the reel spinning and unwinding, and he's got it both hands on the handle trying to stop it from unwinding so fast. And he gets his shirt tangled up in his T-shirt tangled up in the handle.
Oh, no.
And he's going, hey, I'm in trouble here. And so the guy on the other side of the boat comes over to give him a hand. And the boat leans because everyone's on the same side of the boat. The guy in the front of the boat falls in the water.
Oh, no.
And
wow.
And it's too high to get up back up on top of the front of the boat. And so he's got to swim around the back of the boat. And he's swimming with these shells jiggling in the water and all that, and sharks cruising around and a shark on the end of this line. And he gets in the boat. And so that doesn't work. You know,
what a situation.
And they come home all with their heads hanging in shame, thinking this, you know.
It's not working.
It still doesn't work.
And we're almost the next time, like, we're going to be the shark feed.
Yeah. And the guy, and so this young kid goes, why don't we just use the boy with the rope? You know, it's easy. And so the next night they come home with two decent-sized sharks.
Wow. So finally the plan worked. You come back home with two decent-sized sharks, and what do you decide to do with them?
Yeah, we made a compost heap and put some compost in there and the two sharks in there, but we had it too close to the boys' dormitory, and they stunk so badly that some boys got up in the middle of the night and got the sharks and threw the sharks back into the ocean. And so
all of that work,
all of that work
for nothing.
Came to nothing.
Well, but at least you got like a great story to tell, and a big adventure. So Ben, tell me a little bit about like what did you learn about God? You know, during that time that you were serving Him out in the mission field, and particularly in the Solomons.
Yeah. Look, I think the lesson from the story is, you know, Jesus invited his disciples to become fishers of men, you know, to be a blessing and a benefit to other people. That's what our real purpose in life is. And often we try and do that in our own strength or the way we think we should do it. But God wants to give us his Holy Spirit, and God wants to help us and to use us, to work through us, to be a blessing to other people. And if we, you know, He invited me. God wanted me to go to the Solomons, and I needed to look to Him at how I could be the most beneficial to those, you know, to the students and the school and the people there.
That's amazing. And look, and if we have like a young person listening to us here right now, and they have in their heart as well this desire to serve God, perhaps to be a missionary, to serve God in a different place. What would you say to them?
Yeah, God has a purpose for every person that wants to be a blessing for them. And so God, you know, will use anyone in many ways. I mean, I was a mechanic and, you know, and was helpful to the people there. And whatever you are or a young person, give your life to God and say, just say what I did. God, I'm yours. You know, I want to have a real purpose in life. And I'm yours. Show me what you want me to do.
That's amazing. And Ben, tell me a little bit about this. Because there's a lot of uncertainties that can come with, you know, getting out of the comfort zone and getting to the mission field. And by the way, one curiosity here. What did you do with this $25 a week? Was that enough? Was that enough to live on?
One can of powdered milk was $25. we only bought a one-way airfare, and so we saved $25 each, $50 a week each, enough to buy our airfare just to get home.
Wow.
And so, yeah, and Carleen's mother, you know, gave us a few extra dollars so we could get home that year.
Amazing. That's an amazing story of God's provision, of adventure, and like how, you know, getting out of the comfort zone, you know, either if you go overseas or even if you're staying locally, but you're going out of your comfort zone to be a blessing to someone else, it's kind of guaranteed that we're going to be living some adventures in that venture, isn't it?
Yeah.
So Ben, thank you so much. We really appreciate your time sharing the story. I know that you have many other stories to share, so we got to invite you to come back another time here to the show. But thank you so much for sharing that story. And if you have any questions that you'd like to ask to Ben, you can text us here 0491-064-669. We'll get him to respond. Again, Ben, thank you so much for coming and for sharing that amazing story with us.
Thank you.